Welcome to Radio KAL Live. Sorry about the pause in the beginning of the show. We just had a few technical issues. Welcome to Radio KAL Live, the number one Superman fan site in the world. Superman homepage brings you this live show. I'm Steve Eunice. In this, our August 15th, 2017 show, we're going to be covering a range of topics, including some of the stuff happening with Justice League action figures. We're going to be talking about Joss Whedon's role in the movie Justice League. We're going to be talking about Supergirl, some of the details for upcoming episodes, and Tom Welling's turning down an appearance in the Supergirl TV series. But we'll also be opening the line to take your questions and comments on any particular Superman topic you'd like to discuss. And to let you know how all that works and how you can get involved in the show, let me introduce you to my co-host, Michael Bailey. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Steve. Now, obviously, the live listeners have gone to www.supermanhomepage.com because they're... well, hopefully listening to the show. There they're going to find a phone number, which is 714-242-6186. That's 714-242-6186. There they will be warmly greeted by me, and then eventually talking to us about halfway through the episode. Now, since this is 2017, we're beaming this live across the internet, and therefore around the planet Houston, you can call in via Skype. And to do that, you can use the little Skype icon at the supermanhomepage.com/livepage to call and be on the show.
Yes, and don't forget, as always, there is a flash chat room attached to the bottom of the live listening page you're on right now. So we invite our live listeners to join in there and chat with fellow listeners as the show goes on. Michael and I will keep an eye on that chat room to react to your comments or questions, and we'll hopefully be able to address them as we continue with tonight's show. But we'd like to hear from you in person. So as Michael said, at about the halfway point of tonight's program, we'll ask you or remind you again about those guest call-in number and Skype button so you can have a chat with us on air live tonight. And a huge thank you to our sponsors and patrons, Tina Murray, Patrick O'Neill, and Stephen Wright. We appreciate your support. And we appreciate the support and listening of our live listeners who have been very patient with us tonight as Michael and I had a few issues starting at the beginning of the show. How are you, Mike?
Well, I'm glad that we're on the air.
Yeah.
Having a little trouble there at the beginning. So.
Yeah, exactly. But hopefully people have stuck around, which Alex and a couple of others have in the Flash chat room, so we appreciate their patience. But as I said, it's been a pretty good week for news in the Superman front. There's been a fair bit going on around about the Justice League movie, about the Supergirl TV series, the comic books, and some DVDs and things coming out. So let's get straight into it. We usually like to start with movie stuff, and we saw an image of a 3D graphic, if you like, of what Steppenwolf looks like up front, nice and close. There was a 3D render by a 3D artist for Mattel. He shared a headshot render of Steppenwolf's head and face for the, you know, for what they did from the movie to the action figures. He also shared a full body 3D render of a Parademon, but sadly both of those images have been removed from his Instagram account now. I'm guessing he got the slap on the wrist. But the image of Steppenwolf is still up on our website. What did you make of this render? I guess it's probably a simplified version, being that it's for an action figure.
I mean, it looks pretty good. It's what I would expect from Zack Snyder coming up with a visual for this character. You know, the palette is kind of simple, very kind of dark. So, you know, nothing like either the original comics or the Superpowers revamp that they did in 1985. So, you know, not bad for what they're doing.
I guess the only real similarity, if anything, is just the kind of the horn look for his helmet or his hat or whatever it is, which is the only similarities that you can kind of pinpoint. But it's really not, like you said, nothing like either the original version or any other version really we've seen of Steppenwolf from comic books or animated versions.
Yeah, the New Gods are a very colorful group of characters, mainly because they were designed originally by Jack Kirby. So, you know, this isn't a man that goes small on anything he does. I've become, over the last couple of years, a really big fan of his original work, even though it's kind of crazy and out there in places. It's visually exciting. And, you know, as cool as Steppenwolf looks, and as, you know, we've seen little hints of the parademons here and there, it's nice that we're getting that. I think it's kind of unfortunate, you know, and people hate to compare it to the Marvel movies, but, you know, Thanos, every time we've seen Thanos, he looks like Thanos, you know, and it just strikes me as odd that it's just like, okay, that obviously works. You can't, you know, we've got computer animation. We can put anything we want on the screen. So why are you going to go with something that looks kind of boring? And again, maybe on screen, it's going to look really exciting. But, you know, I haven't really been blown away by most of the designs of the film so far. So I got a bad feeling about this, but I hope to be proven wrong.
Now, talking of Mattel, the box art of the side, especially the side panel of the Justice League Multiverse action figures features new images of the Justice League characters, or the actors who are portraying the characters. We get a new image of Henry Cavill as Superman on the side of the Superman action figure box. It's just him looking straight down the camera in a nice bright blue costume. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, a buddy of mine was posting on his Facebook page. He managed to track down all of the figures at this point, and they look very nice out of the package. The packaging itself looks really cool. The DC, is this still called the Multiverse one? Because that's what it has been, you know, like, basically.
Yeah, it is.
You know, each... Yeah, each thing has its own, like, you know, there's a Suicide Squad and a Batman v Superman and all that. So this is the Justice League. But I like the shot of Henry. You know, it's hard at this point, and I know this may sound like I'm a spoiled brat, but it's hard to get excited for new shots of Superman at this point because we've, you know, had two movies with him in it. So it's not like back in 2011, 2012, where it's just like, oh, that's what it looks like. Now it's like, no, it's a front shot, and he's looking at the camera. That's not that bad. I mean, I'm not trying to sound like a snob or anything. It's just like I can't, like, you know, get up and, you know, jump up and down anymore about it.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. No, I mean, there isn't too much to get excited about. And it's, you know, it's not a full body shot or anything like that. And we've seen the costume before. It doesn't seem to be that much change between what we saw in Batman v Superman and this movie. So as far as the shots they're showing us, it even could be a previous shot of Henry Cavill not used in any other promo for Batman v Superman that they've taken and used for this because... And we don't know what Superman's appearance will be like when he does finally make an appearance in Justice League. So we will have to wait and see. But as far as I said, the costume looks a little bit brighter. And that may have something to do with the adjustment of tone of the Justice League movie. As we know, Zack Snyder had to step down after nearly completing the film because of a family tragedy. And Joss Whedon has stepped up to... take on that role of finishing off the film. He's been doing some reshoots and things. And Joe Morton, who plays Dr. Silas Stone, which is the father of the character Cyborg, confirmed to IGN that some of the recent reshoots have involved tonal adjustments. He says, well, the stuff that I had to do were just really small little bits and pieces, nothing necessarily having to do with tone. I know that with Ray Fisher, the young man who plays Victor, there were some adjustments that they made in terms of the tone of that character. I think what I heard was that there was a need from the studio to lighten up the film in a way that the film felt too dark. I don't know what that meant in terms of how it actually got translated in terms of the reshoots, but that's what I heard. That's what I thought some of the reshoots were about. Now, whether or not he's coming from a position of knowledge or whether he's just passing on hearsay is really hard to tell from that quote.
Yeah. It's kind of weird when at this point in all the DC films, especially the ones that we've been talking about pretty hardcore, like the like Man of Steel and Batman v Superman, there's always these stories that seem to come out a couple months beforehand, you know, the studio is not happy with it. You know, it's just, now we're having to make, they're recutting it. And in terms of Batman v Superman, that's exactly what the studio did. They recut the film, took out some scenes, I guess, that they weren't all that happy with, and those were put back in for the Blu-ray. Now, whether that was cut out of the film for the theatrical release to get a bigger bump with the Blu-ray, that's a conspiracy theory, but it's a good conspiracy theory, because really, in the end, it doesn't hurt anybody, except maybe those who felt maybe they were taken advantage of. That's been the kind of the thing I've seen most on social media this week regarding this movie. Is, you know, the studio saw an early cut and wasn't happy with it. And it's easy to extrapolate on that because, you know, Joss Whedon was brought in to do reshoots. Now, he was brought in to do reshoots because of a family tragedy. That's a more logical reason to bring it in. But there was a couple quotes from Ben Affleck out there about how happy he was to work with Joss. And it's really hard to know where to, you know, put your faith in at this point, because we have so many sites out there that, you know, just to get clicks on their website will promote every available rumor. And it's just like, at this point, I don't want any part of it anymore because I'm just tired of that.
Yeah, no, the speculation and the innuendo and, the whole, back and forth from fans about what is happening, what's not happening, what they're hearing, what they're not hearing. It does get tiring, and it's just like, you know, what's the point? When it comes out, we'll know, you know, what the movie is, and we'll be able to debate it then. But I guess the endless back and forth about, you know, oh, I hear this is really crappy, I heard it's really bad, and they're having to recut it and having to do reshoots. Like, who'd you hear from? Like, you really, how do you know that's crappy? Have you seen it? Stop, you know, speculating. And especially the naysayers, it just gets tiresome.
Yeah, I like a good, honest look at a film as much as the next guy. And if it's bad, it's bad. And if it's good, it's good. But it just seems like it's one of those situations where I'm forced to agree with people I normally have disagreements with. Because there has been a lot of unnecessary negativity towards this film, and there has been a lot of, well, I'm going to share this article because it's there's a term that I rather like, and it kind of makes how fandom and just really anything, but we'll talk about fandom in specific with this, you know, make a lot more sense, is confirmation bias. People are out there looking for things that match what they think so that they can then share that and say, look, I was right because of this. It was, you know, back, you know, when Man of Steel came out and Superman fandom decided to tear itself apart. I saw the same panel from Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow shared over and over again of Superman saying, well, you know, I took McShea Spitalik's life and even I don't have the right to do that. And everyone shared it like, look, see, the comic book said so. And it doesn't. It's out of context for the entire story. All it does is allow somebody to feel a momentary sense of I'm right. And I'm kind of tired of that. I hate to get serious. It's been a really rough, weekend here in the States. So getting my head into the fictional world was a little harder tonight than it has been in quite some time. But at the same time, you know, I want people to enjoy what they enjoy. And if somebody is, like, super looking forward to this film, you know, how are you going to be the guy or girl that's going to sit there and rain on their parade? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, what's the point? What are you getting out of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, do you feel better? I don't know. I don't like
full making somebody else feel bad. Yeah, I'm with you. Now, looking ahead at or looking elsewhere in the movie business, the Justice League, the New Frontier animated film is being re-released in a commemorative edition on Blu-ray and DVD. It will now feature a featurette, an all-new featurette spotlighting the amazing career of the late great artist and writer Darwin Cook. He's not passed away.
Yes. Darwin Cook. Unfortunately.
Yes, that's right. Yes, I was just about to say.
Sadly.
For some reason, I was Yes, we. Yeah, he passed away. I think it was he had a battle with cancer, and we think it was 2016 that he passed away, or was it earlier
Yes.
this year?
Yeah, it was. No, it was 2016. It was a little over a year ago. That made me sad when it happened because I really love his work, and especially I love this movie, and I'm so glad that it's getting a commemorative edition. I have it. I have it on DVD. I have the double disc set. I'm going to buy this just so I can have it on Blu-ray and the extra stuff that's coming with it.
Yeah, it'll be released on October 3rd. It's available in Blu-ray, Blu-ray combo pack, Blu-ray steelbook, and DVD. And as I said, there'll be a featurette spotlighting the amazing life and career of Darwin Cook, who obviously the 2008... animated film, when it was originally released, was based on his DC The New Frontier and a graphic novel or miniseries. It was a phenomenally drawn book, and thankfully, this is one of those animated movies where the adaptation of the artwork and style of the artist has been very faithfully adapted to the animated version of the movie. And it's just it's a great film, a great tribute to Darwin Cook and the story told in that particular comic book story. And if you haven't watched it, then this commemorative edition is definitely something that you'll want to get your hands on.
Yeah, I will totally agree with that. This is my favorite, you know, in 10 years of doing films and however many they've done, they have not, to my estimation, matched the quality of this film. You know, that was a tough book to adapt because so much happened in it, and there was a lot from the original comic that was left out. But it gets the spirit of the movie, of the comic, and it's such a joy to watch. It's got a great score. Kyle MacLachlan makes an amazing Superman. I really enjoyed his performance. You know, we see no Clark Kent because he just wasn't part of the story. But if you have not purchased this yet, this is the time to get it because it's just such an amazing movie.
So, as I said, that's available October 3rd. It's released. You can pre-order it now through the Superman homepage online shopping page, which you can find at supermanhomepage.com/shop. Do that. It's I think retailing on Blu-ray for $29.98 through Amazon, so get to it. All right, that's everything to do with the movie side of things. Let's look to television, where Supergirl season 3 is quickly about to hit our TV screens. It's in October, but the Teen Choice Awards were presented on Sunday, August 13th, and while Supergirl, the TV series, was nominated for a number of awards, it won in one of the categories, and that was Choice Action TV Actress, and that was awarded to Melissa Benoist, who was there with Grant Gustin, who plays The Flash, on the Teen Choice Awards, and she was surprised on stage by receiving that award. The big surfboard came out, and she made a very nice speech about receiving the award, which is her very first Teen Choice Award. So congratulations to Melissa Benoist for that Teen Choice Award for TV Best Choice Action TV Actress.
So is this the, like, most obnoxious award? I mean, not the award itself, like her getting voted, but actually the physical award. Because it looks, you know, the YouTube thing of her holding it, and it doesn't look... It just looks really unwieldy. So where do you put that?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really fit on your shelf or your mantelpiece with all your other awards that you probably get as an actor. It's got to stand somewhere in the corner or in the garage or in the, you know, in the back porch or whatever it might, wherever you might be able to fit it. But I wonder if they give him a little miniature version or something. It just does seem very unwieldy.
You know, that'd be kind of nice. At least, you know, at least a small one you can put on, like you said, the mantle. I mean, you would have to mount this thing over the mantle. But, you know, it's kind of funny. You look at all the people she was up against. It's like, outside of Jordana Brewster from Lethal Weapon, it was everybody from the DC superhero shows on CW, two of them from Flash. So that that's kind of amusing. That though, wait, I'm wrong. I was about to say Danielle Panabaker wasn't really an action star, but she got to be Killer Frost a bunch of times this season, so that works just as well. So I guess so. But yeah, really glad that Melissa won. I think she deserves it. I think she's been doing a great job, and it looks like we have more to look forward to in season four, including Kevin Smith coming back as director.
Yeah, season three.
Season three.
We have a couple of further details about other episodes. We last week spoke about episodes 1, 2, and 3. Now we have a title for episode 4 of season 3. It's titled The Faithful. And it basically says that when Supergirl saves a teenage girl named Olivia, who was going to attempt suicide because she found out her boyfriend was cheating on her, Olivia turns her focus towards the Girl of Steel. She creates a support group made up of other people who have been saved by Supergirl. But there seems to be a religious undertone to this group, and they may end up turning out to be more like a cult, which is kind of a theme, I think, that happened throughout the Superman books as well.
There was the Cult of Superman in the Action Comics Weekly strip when that book launched. Mm-hmm. Most of the run of Action Comics Weekly dealt with that and turned out to be Darkseid was behind it. And then they came back during the Funeral for a Friend and Reign of the Superman. Roger Stern brought them back, and they were the people like in the robes, the blue robes with the red S on it. And just kind of an interesting idea that people would look at Superman from like literally worshiping him as a god, and how that works out. So, you know, the show has a pretty good track record of dealing with this stuff and making it work. So I don't want to see it for like the entire season, but an episode, it's kind of worth seeing.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that plays out. But you mentioned Kevin Smith, and he will be returning to direct his third episode of Supergirl, which will be the fifth episode of season 3. We don't know a title for this episode as yet, because Kevin has very strategically placed a pen over the title of the episode when he posted an Instagram photo or Twitter photo of the front page of the draft script for this particular episode. So we can't actually see the title. We know that it's written by Eric Carrasco and Cindy Lightman, but beyond that, we know it will be directed by Kevin Smith, who is pretty keen to return to direct another episode of Supergirl after having done two previous episodes in previous seasons.
It's going to be Mallrats, or like Clerks, or something like that.
Something like that. Well, Supergirl Lives was the title of his second episode that he directed, so I think he may well do a title that is something relevant to himself, or to maybe it's called Polar Bears or something like that.
I would love that. I would love to see her just hanging out with polar bears for an entire episode. I don't know how exciting that would be, but I've got a thing for polar bears, so that's just that's just a personal thing. So, but we had kind of mixed thoughts on the Kevin Smith episode. You know, overall we liked it, so I'm kind of glad that he's coming back. He also shared, I don't know if it was on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or whatever, that he actually had them design him a new shirt, a new hockey jersey, which has Supergirl carrying him, which I thought was kind of cool. So, you know, he's a huge comic book guy. So this is, you know, he's got to host a show called Comic Book Men. So obviously he's, you know, plugged into the culture. So, you know, the more I hear about season 3, because it's the third season, not the fourth season, I guess. I'm just looking forward to it. You know, the show's, you know, on a pretty good track record now, so hopefully it'll be a more even season. But I'm of the opinion that at very least we'll be entertained by what we see.
Yes, so we'll have to wait for that. And don't forget that Super Gold returns, is it October 9th on the CW?
Just yeah, it's early checking. In the month this season.
Yes, October 9th, Monday, October 9th, on the CW at 8 p.m. or check your local guides for whatever time Supergirl airs in your location. Now, speaking of Supergirl, we had this one that I know is going to create, or did create, quite a bit of a stir. Entertainment Weekly caught up with Tom Welling, who revealed in the interview that they did with him that he was in talks to appear on Supergirl at the start of Season 2. We assume, and it's pretty much confirmed, that they were looking at him to come on and play Superman or Clark Kent. And, of course, he knows Greg Berlanti pretty well. There were some discussions about that. And he says there was an idea that maybe Supergirl about appearing on that, but it's such a different show. I'm older now. I don't look the same. Appearing on that show as Clark Kent or even Superman for me, I would not want to watch me do that at all. They just have such a different tone.
You know, it's,
obviously, a lot of fans are disappointed.
You think? Wow. That was another thing that was kind of blowing up my Twitter and Facebook feeds this week. You know, on one hand, you wouldn't have had to deal with he looks younger, you know, which they had to deal with on the show. On the other hand, if he's not into it, he's not into it. If you go in there not being interested, then it's not going to come off well. So, you know, maybe they should have offered him something else. I mean, you know, Erica Durance is coming on as Allura. So, or, you know, maybe make him a villain down the road or whatever. But, you know, he seems pretty happy with his, you know, he's going to be on Lucifer this season, which is, you know, kind of keeping him in the DC house. So, but yeah, just... I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Leave this poor man alone. I mean, seriously, he gave you 10 years. I think he's earned a rest.
Well, he's definitely under rest. He doesn't want to be involved in the property, then he doesn't have to be involved. And, yeah, obviously there were people who wanted to see him, and I guess this answers that. He also, in another part of the interview, discusses Smallville. As you say, he was on the show for 10 seasons. But there were quite a few fans, I think we were among them, who weren't that crash-hot happy with the way the series finale ended and the fact that we didn't get to see him, you know, in full costume the way we would have liked. And it seems that here he confirms that the whole thing was his idea, that he knocked back the original idea for them to, in the first act, put him in the suit and have him save Lois out of a plane and do all this other stuff. And he spoke to Peter Roth, who was the head of Warner Brothers Television at the time, and is a good friend of his, he says. And he said, Pete, that's not our show. It's not going to be great. He said, or Peter was saying, it's going to be great. And he's going, I don't think so. It's just we haven't earned that right to do that, which far out after 10 seasons, what more right have you earned? But he says, we jumped onto this idea that at the end of the show, the idea is that Clark becomes Superman and he's out there, and we know he's out there, but we can't go with him, but that we know and we feel good that he's out there doing good. He says, that was what we strove for, and I think we hit it. I like the ending of the series because it's like, yes, he did it. He says, I hope the audience didn't feel like we didn't show them something that they needed to see. I felt like we gave them the jumping off point for their imagination as to what could happen.
You know, it's kind of interesting because on one hand, I totally agree with him that if they would have had him become Superman in the first act of the show, of the episode, then you're really kind of spending another, 40 minutes basically just having him do super feats. I think the way it played out in that episode worked out rather well. It built to the moment, and then The thing that I liked about it was we got that moment where he was kind of trapped, well, not trapped, but he was in that Kryptonian thing and Jor-El was talking to him, and you had all of the shots of him doing stuff from the entire series. And I was like, yeah, this is what you do in a last episode. You look back and then move forward, and him getting the powers and flying – what I'm disappointed is that we didn't, you know, and I know it would have only been for 10 minutes, but actually seeing him in the costume and not the computer generated stuff that they did. I think that's where my disappointment was. Not that they ended it poorly, because I think they ended it exactly the way they needed it to, but they didn't stick the landing completely.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you 100%. I think the episode played out really well. I thought the emotional build of it was really well played out. But as you said, at the end there, and not just having a CGI version of him, that was disappointing. And I think fans would have been happy with just, 10 seconds, 30 seconds of seeing Tom in the costume and not just ripping open the shirt. That's what they wanted to see. But it sounds like, he obviously was not into that, and it played out the way he thought it should. And before anyone says, "Oh, he was just an actor. How can he put his, foot down like that?" Well, he was more than an actor at this point in the series. He was a producer on the show, so he had a fairly hefty say in what did and didn't happen at that point of the series.
Yeah, they wanted him to stay, so they backed that money truck up to the house. And the way they do that as an actor, instead of just making you, give you an exorbitant salary, they're like, "Yeah, we'll also make you a producer. That'll give you an extra check every week." So,
that's it.
It's common. As you said, let me tell you.
Yes, 100%. Tom is coming back to television as an actor. He has been doing some work behind the scenes. He will be a new character on Lucifer, as you mentioned, which returns on Fox October 2nd. So, if you're a fan of Tom Welling and you want to follow him in other work that he does beyond Superman, that's where you'll find him. All right, well, we're at the halfway point of tonight's show, so let's take a quick break, play some messages, and then come back on the other side of these messages with some more TV stuff and comic book news. So back shortly. We'll be back right after these messages.
What will happen now? We'll know more in a moment when we return for the exciting climax of today's episode. So stand by.
You're listening to the Radio KAL Live Talkback Show from SupermanHomepage.com.
Up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane. No, it's SupermanHomepage.com, the number one Superman fan site in the world. SupermanHomepage.com, covering the world of Superman from the 1930s to today. News, reviews, rumors, and reports. SupermanHomepage.com for all your Superman comics, TV shows, movies, cartoons, radio shows, and more. Everything you ever wanted to know about the Man of Steel and more. SupermanHomepage.com.
I'm freezing! Superman!
Uh-oh, sounds like Lisa and Scott are trapped in the icy cave of that frosty-faced villain, Captain Cold. This is a job for Superman.
My fast freeze zapper will freeze Superman forever.
No way, Captain! Here, kids, my new Superman Hot Cocoa Mix is the super-tasting way to warm up.
Mmm, really sweet.
And see, Captain Cold can't take this warm reception. New Superman Hot Cocoa, the super-tasting way to warm up.
This is James Konacek, the voice of Superman. You're listening to KAL Live.
And we're back on Radio KAL Live, where our guest call-in number is 714-242-6186. That's 714-242-6186. Or you can click on the little Skype icon found next to that guest call-in number to be part of tonight's show. And there is a person waiting in the queue, but don't seem to be responding to our hails. So if that's you and your number starts with a 306, then man your phone. All right. What did you make of that cocoa? Have you ever tasted the Superman hot cocoa, Michael?
No, but I'm sure it's probably pretty cheap.
Super.
Super cheap. Yes, exactly. Usually when companies put out a product that is associated with a popular character, the actual food isn't all that, or drink isn't all that good. And I don't know if you've had a lot of different types of cocoa over the years. My wife has gone through a couple different brands, so I've tasted some pretty, you know, cruddy, you know, cocoa before. So I just assume that it just doesn't taste well.
All right, then. Especially if it's from the 1970s and it's probably expired by now.
it's like getting a pack of the Superman 2 cards and wanting to chew the gum at this point.
Best before 1976.
Exactly.
All right. Well, as I said before the break, there's been some other DVD news come out this past week for television side of things. And that is the announcement from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment, that the first part of season one of Justice League Action, the first 26 episodes, will be collected together on DVD, hitting shelves October 10th. This is Justice League Action season one, part one. The world's most beloved DC superheroes are back together, but unlike any iteration you've ever seen, as Warner Brothers Home Entertainment and DC Entertainment present Justice League Action Season 1, Part 1, the first DVD collection of the Cartoon Network animated series. It will retail on DVD for around $18.94. And again, you can pre-order it through the Superman homepage online shopping page, supermanhomepage.com/shop. Have you watched any of these yet?
No. Though, to be fair, this past month has been very busy. The thought I had when I saw this announcement was, okay, so they're releasing the part one, they're going to release a part two, then they're going to do a season one, then they're going to do a Blu-ray, then they're going to season two, part one, and then they're going to do an entire series down the road. So it's not like back when Smallville season one came out on DVD and I bought it the week it came out. Because it's just like, this is never going to happen again. And that turned out to be wrong. So,
yeah, so these first 26 episodes on two discs on DVD. So if you're into Justice League Action or you haven't checked them out yet and you want to get them, the first 26 episodes in one collection, then you can do that. It's 286 minutes. Which is approximately 13 times two 11-minute episodes. So as I said, it's hitting the shelves on October 10th, and you can order it now through the Superman homepage online store. And you can catch new episodes of Justice League Action on Cartoon Network Saturday mornings at 7 a.m., which is pretty early.
Yeah, that's usually I'm asleep, hopefully. Unless I have to work, but even then I usually don't have to go until a little later than that. So I'm lazy is what I'm saying.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, looking at comic book side of things, John Romita Jr., as we reported, I think a couple of weeks back, is joining forces with Frank Miller to put out a graphic novel titled Superman Earth One. We don't know when it will come out yet or when it's scheduled to be released. But we do know that it's a graphic novel that Frank Miller is writing in the, I guess, similar vein to Batman Year One, which he did a couple of years ago. John Romita Jr., when he appeared at Boston Comic Con this past weekend, said during a panel there that he's seen the reactions of people online about, oh, God, here we go again, another Superman origin. But he said it's not really the origin retelling. It's after the origin, it's after he lands, it's what happens between the time he lands and the time he realizes what he is. That sounds like Smallville to me.
This is the exact conversation I had with another Aussie friend of mine last night. I was literally in the middle of reading the article on the homepage and kind of rolling my eyes when my buddy Jack messages me. He's just like, have you seen this? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, it sounds like Smallville. I go, yeah. So it's just like one of those things where, you know, we talked about this when it was announced back in San Diego, and we questioned, you know, why do we need another Superman origin? You know, to me, I'm kind of curious why they're coming out with this now. Are they just trying to sell a bunch of units on the strength of Frank Miller and John Romita Jr. teaming up again. They did years ago, back around 1993, they did this miniseries or limited series called Daredevil, The Man Without Fear, where they told the story of Matt Murdock from the time of him becoming going blind through his teenage years, through his college years, up to the point where he puts the costume on for the official Daredevil costume. And it was a pretty good story. Here, you know, we've seen this. What is Frank Miller? Basically, the bar is really high here. What is Frank Miller going to bring to this story that will make me feel like I didn't waste my money buying the issue?
Well, good point. I mean, it's been done before, not just in Smallville, but Superman for All Seasons did a spectacular job of, you know, that part of Superman's life, or Clark Kent's life. You know, there have been other versions of this story. And let's be honest, it is the origin story because, you know, Krypton exploding and him coming to Earth is like the first 5 seconds of Superman's origin story, usually. So for him to say, this is not the origin, this is what happens after the origin, well, no, the origin is him coming to Earth and, you know, growing up as Clark Kent. That's the origin story of Superman. So I don't understand JRJR's, explanation there. But Alex in the chat room says Frank Miller has never watched Smallville. So he may be treading the same kind of footprints as what they've already done on the TV series and not being aware of it.
Well, you know, you mentioned For All Seasons, but what about Tom DeHaven's It's Superman? I mean, that was a giant novel that was, you know, he became Superman at the end, and there is a fair bit of, you know, you got Superman fighting a robot and Superman dealing with Lex Luthor, but the bulk of that novel was how Clark Kent got to the point where he's like, this is what I need to do with my abilities. Now, that's against the backdrop of a historical drama. And if you ever read it, just have your phone and Google ready, because there's going to be references, because I sat there just Googling the heck out of every reference that was made in that book. But it's just, again, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, this is terrible, it shouldn't be done, because, you know, that's not productive. But at the same time, it's just like, wow, this had better be good.
Well, considering who's involved in it, considering that's Frank Miller, who, you know, has been pretty vocal about not being a Superman fan or not liking Superman, and John Romita Jr., who, let's face it, his recent stint as an artist on Superman was woeful, it doesn't bode well.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, I think this time it seems like he's kind of, I don't want to say learned his lesson, because ultimately he's talking about a character, but, you know, the press that we're seeing now isn't as insulting as his, you know, when he first came on the book and the reporter kind of, you know, taking the worst comments he could make and putting them out there. And that's the representation of his opinions on Superman. So, you know, and it's not going to be him in the costume. So again, like, you know, that's great, but what's the point? I mean, Superman, I think what Rebirth in general and what his appearance on Supergirl proved to me, and, you know, I could be completely wrong on this, I don't think I am, but what it proved to me is that for Superman and what people want to, when people want to read Superman, it seems like the origin is something that needs to be gotten out of the way. You know, the most popular Superman in comics in the past 7 years has been an older, experienced, married with a kid Superman. So, you know, so why keep treading this ground? Is my major question.
Well, it's a good one, and we won't know until we get this graphic novel release, and we don't know a release date yet, so we'll have to wait and see, and we'll keep you apprised of any details that come about Superman Year One when we hear more about it in the coming weeks and months. So stay tuned. All right, well, now is a good time to bring in our regular caller, Mark Lax, who likes to talk to us about comic book stuff. And we have to talk about Action Comics 985, which came out this past week. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Yeah, hey. Doing well, thank you. Now,
can I just make one...
Yeah, I was going to say, get your thoughts on the Frank Miller, John Romita Jr. thing.
Yeah. when I first read it, it reminded me of something, Steve, that you might put up on April Fool's Day. I was like, really? No. I mean, Frank Miller and John Romita, and not only was John Romita's art terrible on that book, but he said some things that were just, I mean, he didn't seem like he truly cared about the character either. So to put these two guys together to do a Superman story, and also, of course, an origin story, which has been done a million times, I just, I don't get it, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Now, as I mentioned, Action Comics 985 came out this past week. And in this, it's the part one of Only Human. We see the return of the Machinist.
I didn't think we'd see him again, but this was used to, you know, I liked his appearance in this. I just thought, because when I first heard, oh, it's the Machinist, I'm like, oh, no, not, let's just bring back all the John Romita and who it was, Gene Luen Yang, who was doing, was that at the
yes,
time? That was
Gene,
when,
yep.
That was during the truth story arc, right?
Right. The Machinist was around, okay. Yeah, during that. But I think Rob Williams does a better job of, of the Machinist this time around, and having to see Superman and Lex Luthor team up after Superman first accuses him of being involved in this, and Lex says, like, you know, it's not me, you know, Superman suggests that they team up and confront whoever is behind it, and it's an interesting dynamic.
Well, I have to say, this is a great Superman-Lex Luthor issue. I mean, if you're a fan of the two of them teaming up, this is a great issue. If you're a fan of the two of them fighting, this is a good issue. I had a lot of fun with it, you know, watching, you know, seeing them teaming up and trying to do this. And then, of course, obviously, Lex gets the chip. So now, oh, he's going to fight Superman, which we're going to see, I guess, in the next issue. But I'm kind of liking this better Lex Luthor, this kind of non-villain Lex Luthor. I mean, I don't know how long it'll last, you know, but you know, I kind of like him. I mean, maybe they can make him certain times a little bit more of an antagonist, but not the bad guy, not the real villain, you know. Which is actually
it's an
kind
interesting
of
one because,
you know.
Yeah, we've come to know Lex as being, you know, the bad guy with, you know, doing things behind the scenes and nefariously, and, you know, always being able to have, you know, a excuse or an alibi for, you know, when Superman ever confronted him about something like that. And it kind of felt a little bit like that in this case. You know, you've seen it in past stories where, you know, it's LexCorp material or it's LexCorp
right.
weapons or whatever. Lex is always saying, no, they've stolen it from me, I'm the victim here. But you knew in the back of your mind or in the back of the story that he was actually the one supplying the weapons or supplying the technology to the villains. But here, because of, you know, the last couple of years of Lex being not a bad guy and in recent
right.
times becoming of a hero, we're inclined to believe him. And I wonder just how long that will last, as you say. Michael, what are your thoughts on Lex being this way?
You know, I've talked in the past that I really have disliked the idea of making Lex Luthor, excuse me, a heroic character. Jeff Johns in particular seemed really kind of bent on, when he was using Lex, that he would make him kind of, you know, it was when, you know, we'd bring out Lex when Lex had to team up with Superman against the Kryptonians, or Lex was the hero of Forever Evil and all that. Having said that, I've enjoyed what Dan Jurgens has done with Lex Luthor in Rebirth, and we're probably going to see a fall at some point, though, as Alex points out in the Flash chat, you know, Lex is going to be a part of the Doomsday Clock because it's Geoff Johns. Of course he is. This particular issue, my main three thoughts were I really liked the artwork. But the artwork was fantastic. It was really epic shots of Superman. You know, it's what I want out of a Superman story. Two, obvious fill-in, but that's not a bad thing. This is obviously taking a break from the big storylines that have been going on to have, you know, a little two-parter where Lex and Superman throw down. And three, I heard Clancy Brown through every utterance of Lex Luthor in this issue. This is the most Superman the Animated Series Lex Luthor that I have seen in the comics in quite some time.
Agreed.
Yeah, I have to agree as well, definitely.
Cool. Well, that's Action Comics 985. And as we look ahead to this week, there are quite a few Superman comic books scheduled to come out. There's Superman number 29, Super Sons number 7, Justice League number 27, Trinity number 12. There's also that new series Dark Knight Metal number 1, if you're interested in the Dark Multiverse. That seems to be the new big thing that DC Comics are doing at the moment. There's DC Comics Bombshells number 33, Injustice 2 number 8, a print edition, and there's a new trade paperback of Batman Volume 6, Universe's Finest, if you're interested in collecting that. So some pretty good books out this week, especially Superman number 29.
Yeah, that's a new story, but I guess, is it September, is that when we're going to start to see Mr. Oz story, I think, in action, and then they're going to do the Fourth World or the Apocalypse with Lex and all of that.
Yeah, so a lot to look forward to in coming weeks. So, a lot to sink our teeth into there. So great to hear from you, Mark. Always appreciate you calling in and having a chat to us about comic books.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Okay. See you, Mark. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Mark, and the other caller is just hanging around in the background and will not answer to our hail, so maybe they're just listening in via their phone. Maybe that's the only way they can tune in, so we'll leave them there. But the other thing that you and I did this past week, Michael, or it's been in the process for quite a while now, was our top 10 video for the top 10 Superman voice actors of all time. Now, the results of this top 10 list were compiled through a poll that we recently ran on the Superman homepage. The members of the website decided the order of this list. We put on down all the Superman actors who had voiced the role, whether it be in cartoons, animated movies, radio, what have you, wherever someone's voiced the role of Superman, not in a live-action version, usually animated or otherwise, then they were on the list, and you guys decided who the top 10 were, and I was very disappointed to see that Bud Collier was not first.
Yeah, I don't think we stuffed the ballot. I mean, I don't think enough people came out to vote but no, Tim Daly, to be fair, Tim Daly is very popular, and with the current 100%. Generations... Of Superman fans, it makes perfect sense. I think the radio show, it remains to my mind that undiscovered country of Superman in adapted media for people, because mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people have probably heard like an episode or two. You know, the Smithsonian Institute did release those CD box sets back mm-hmm, in the late 90s and the early 2000s, and you can go to archive.org and download, well, just about all of them that are still, you know, in existence. Man, you know what would be cool if they would actually invest in having like Tim Daly and Dana Delaney and all those actors coming back and do the missing scripts. You know, the scripts are probably still in existence. So have them do like the fill-in so you could have the whole adventure. But that's just me pie in the skying it at this point. But that would be just amazing, I think.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic idea. For those people who don't know or don't understand what Michael's talking about, the 1940s Superman radio series, the majority of them are out there, as you said, archive.org and other locations. You can download all the hundreds of episodes that are available. But during the war years, some of the discs and that they recorded on went missing or got broken or disappeared, vanished. And so there are episodes here and there that are missing. There's whole storylines missing from some years, which is a real shame. So if someone could, if the scripts were still around or there was a ability to somehow recreate those missing episodes using some of those voice actors that you mentioned, that would be phenomenal. And if you haven't listened to, and most people know Bud Collier probably from either the Fleischer cartoons or the 1966 The New Adventures of Superman cartoons, where, let's be honest, he didn't have a lot of voice acting to do, especially the Fleischer cartoons. It's mostly action. It's mostly him saying this is a job for Superman and, you know, grunting and punching and you know, grandstanding. But otherwise, there, you know, isn't a lot for you to be able to hear from Bud Collier. But if you listen to the 1940 Superman radio series and the differentiation between his Clark Kent and Superman, and I wrote in my Big Blue Report this week, the newsletter that was just sent out today or earlier yesterday, about my love of Bud Collier. He's my favorite Superman actor of all time. Yes, over Christopher Reeve, over Henry Cavill and all the others. He just embodies the role of Superman to me. He was friendly. He was, you know, charming. He was, you know, everything that I guess in your mind's eye you imagine Superman to be, and Clark Kent at that. So that was the top 10. Check it out on the Superman homepage website. Well, that's our show for tonight. We want to thank you all for once again listening to the show, and thanks to everyone in the chat room and everyone and Mark for calling in. And a big thank you to you, my co-host, Michael Bailey. Thanks, Mike.
Ah, pleasure as always, Steve.
And a huge thank you to our patrons, Tina Murray, Patrick O'Neill, and Stephen Wright. If you want to sponsor the site, patreon.com/supermanhomepage. Now, recording of this show will soon be available on the Superman homepage if you'd like to listen back to what took place. But we'll be back next week on Tuesday, August 22nd at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time for another edition of Radio KAL Live. Look forward to talking with you then. Until then, be sure to check out supermanhomepage.com for all your daily news updates on everything surrounding the Man of Steel. I'm Steve Yunus. On behalf of myself and Michael Bailey, thanks for listening into Radio KAL Live, brought to you by supermanhomepage.com.